Part 2 Chapter 1 In front of the station, we scatter like a bucket of water pitched out on the pavement. Cazola sets off at a sharp pace with Brugger and Troska down Heinrich Street. With Ludwig, I turn rapidly into Station Avenue. Without wasting any time in farewells, Lederhose and his rag-and-bone shop have already gone like a shot, and Tjaden gets Willy to describe briefly the shortest route to the mall shop. Jupp and Valentin alone have any leisure. No one is awaiting their arrival, so they take a preliminary saunter around the station on the off chance of finding some grub. They intend later on to go to the barracks. Water is dripping from the trees along Station Avenue. Clouds trail low and drive swiftly over. Some soldiers of the latest class to be called up approach us. They are wearing red armbands. "Off with his shoulder straps!" yells one, making a grab at Ludwig. "Shut your mouth, you war baby," I say as I shove him off. Others press in and surround us. Ludwig looks calmly at the foremost of them and goes on his way. The fellow steps aside. Then two sailors appear and rush at him. "You swine! Can't you see he's wounded?" I shout, flinging off my pack to get freer play with my hands. But Ludwig is down already. What with the wound in his arm, he is as good as defenseless. The sailors trample on him, rip at his uniform. "A lieutenant!" screeches a woman's voice. "Kick him to death, the dirty bloodhound!" Before I can come to his assistance, I get a blow in the face that makes me stagger. "You son of a bitch!" I cough, and with all my weight plant my boot in my assailant's stomach. He sighs and topples over. Immediately, three others fall on me and drag me down. "Lights out, knives out," cries the woman. Between the trampling legs, I can see Ludwig with his free left hand throttling one sailor whom he has brought down by giving him a crack behind the knees. He still hangs on, though the others are hoeing into him with all their might. Then someone swipes me over the head with a belt buckle, and another treads on my teeth. Wolf promptly seizes him by the calf of his leg, but still we are unable to rise. They knock us down again every time, and would tread us to pulp. Wild with rage, I try to get at my revolver. But at that moment, one of the attackers crashes backwards to the pavement beside me. A second crash, another fellow unconscious, and straight away a third. This can have only one meaning. Willy is on the job. He came storming up at top gallop, flung off his pack as he ran, and now is standing over us, raging. He seizes them in twos by the nape of the neck, one in each hand, and bashes their heads together. Both are knocked out on the instant. When Willy gets mad, he is a living sledgehammer. We break free. I jump up, but the attackers make off. I just manage to land one of them a blow in the small of his back with my pack, and then turn to look after Ludwig. But Willy is in full pursuit. He saw the two sailors who made the first attack on Ludwig. One now lies there in the gutter, blue and groaning, and like a flying hurricane with red hair, he is hot on the heels of the other. Ludwig's arm has been trampled on, and the blood is oozing through the bandage. His face is smeared with mud, and his forehead torn by a heel. He wipes himself down and rises slowly. "Hurt much?" I ask him. Deathly pale, he shakes his head. In the meantime, Willy has captured the sailor and is lugging him along like a sack. "You bloody cow," he storms. There you've been sitting in your ships, taking the summer air all the war, and never have heard so much as a shot fired. And now you think it's time for you to open your beer trap and attack frontline soldiers, do you? You let me catch you. Kneel down, you malingering sod. Kneel down and ask his pardon. He thrust the fellow down before Ludwig with an air ferocious enough to put the fear of God into any man. I'll massacre you, he snarls. I'll tear you to bits. Kneel, down on your knees. The man whimpers. Let him alone, Vili, says Ludwig, picking up his things. What? Says Vili incredulously. Are you mad? After they've trampled all over your arm? Ludwig is ready to go. Ah, let him go. For a moment, Vili continues staring at Ludwig. Then, with a shake of his head, he releases the sailor. Right you are, then. Now run like hell! But he cannot resist letting fly at the last moment and giving the fellow a kick that sends him through a double somersault. We go on our way. Vili curses. He must talk when he is angry. But Ludwig is silent. Suddenly we see the gang of runaways coming back around the corner of Beer Street. They have gathered reinforcements. Vili unslings his rifle. Load and prepare to fire, says he, his eyes narrowing. Ludwig draws out his revolver, and I also put my gun in readiness. Until now it has merely been a free fight, but this time is going to be earnest. We do not mean to be attacked a second time. We deploy across the street at intervals of 3 paces so as not to form one single compact target. Then we advance. The dog understands at once what is afoot. He slinks along, growling, in the gutter beside us. He too has learned at the front to advance under cover. At 20 yards, we fire, threatens Vili. The crowd facing us moves anxiously. We advance farther. Rifles are pointed at us. With a click, Vili slips his safety catch, and from his belt takes the hand grenade he still carries as an iron ration. I count up to 3. An older man, wearing an NCO's tunic from which the badges of rank have been removed, now steps out from the gang. He advances a few paces. Are you comrades or not? He calls. Vili gasps. He is outraged. Well, I'll be damned. That's what we're asking you, you white-livered calf, he retorts indignantly. Who was it started attacking wounded men? The other stops short. Did you do that? He asks of the fellows behind him. He wouldn't take down his shoulder straps, answers one of the group. The man makes an impatient gesture and turns toward us again. They shouldn't have done that, comrades. But you don't seem to understand what the matter is. Where have you come from, anyway? From the front, of course. Where else do you think? Snorts Vili. And where are you going? Where you've been all the war. Back home. Comrade, says the man, showing an empty sleeve. I didn't lose that at home. That doesn't make it any better, says Vili, unmoved. In that case, you ought to be ashamed to be seen with that push of upstart swatties. The sergeant comes nearer. It's revolution, he says quietly. And who isn't for us is against us. Vili laughs. Bloody fine revolution, no mistake. With your society for the removal of shoulder straps, if that's all you want, he spits contemptuously. Not so fast, mate, says the one-armed man, now walking swiftly toward him. We do want a lot more. We want an end of war, an end of all this hatred, an end of murder. That's what we're after. We want to be men again, not war machines. Vili lowers his hand grenade. A damned fine beginning that was, I must say, he says, pointing to Ludwig's trampled bandage. Then, with a few bounds, he makes for the mob. Yes, you cut along home to your mothers, you snotty-nosed brats, he roars as they give back before him. Want to be men, do you? Why, you aren't even decent soldiers yet. To see the way you hold your rifles, it makes a man scared you'll be breaking your fingers next. The gang starts to run. Vili turns round and stands towering before the sergeant. And now, I have something to say to you. We've had as much a belly full of this business as you. There's going to be an end of it, too, that's certain. But not your way. What we do of ourselves. It is a long time now since we have taken orders from any man. But see now. Two rips, and he has torn off his shoulder straps. I'm doing this because I myself wish it, not at all because you wish it. That's my business, understand? But that chap, he points to Ludwig, he's our lieutenant, and he's keeping his. And God help any man who says he's not. The one-armed man nods. Something in his face quickens and glows. I was there too, mate, he blurts out. I know what is what as well as you do. Here. He shows his stump excitedly. 20th Infantry Division, Verdun. So were we, says Vili laconically. Well, good luck. He puts on his pack and slings his rifle once more. We march on. As Ludwig passes him, the sergeant with the red armband suddenly brings his hand to his cap, and we understand his intention. He is saluting not a uniform, not the war. He is saluting his mates from the front. Vili's home is nearest. He waves gaily across the street in the direction of the little house. Cheero, you old horsebox! Whom is the sailor? We propose to wait for him, but Vili refuses. We'll see Ludwig home first, he says, spoiling for fight. I'll be getting my potato salad and my curtain lecture soon enough. We stop a while on the road to spruce ourselves up so that our parents shall not see we have come fresh from a fight. I wipe Ludwig's face, and we take off his bandage to cover up the traces of blood so that his mother may not be alarmed. Later, of course, he will have to go to the hospital and get his bandages renewed. We arrive without further disturbance. Ludwig still looks rather the worse for his drubbing. Don't let that worry you, I say, shaking him by the hand. Vili puts a great paw on his shoulder. Sort of thing might happen to anyone, old boy. If it hadn't been for the wound, you'd have made mincemeat of them. Ludwig nods to us and goes indoors. We watch to see that he manages the stairs all right. He is already halfway up when another point suddenly occurs to Vili. Kick next time, Ludwig, he shouts after him. Just kick, that's all. Don't let him get near you, understand me? Then, well content, he slams to the door. Like to know what's been up with him the last few weeks, say I. Vili scratches his head. It'll be the dysentery, he suggests. Why otherwise? Well, you remember how he cleaned up that tank at Bixhotte on his own, too. That was no child's play, eh? He settles his pack. Well, good luck, Ernst. Now I'll be after seeing what the Hohmeyer family's been doing the last 6 months. 1 hour of sentiment, I expect, then full steam ahead with the lectures. My mother, oh boy, but what a sergeant major she would have made. A heart of gold the old lady has, in a casing of granite. I go on alone, and all at once the world seems to have altered. There is a noise in my ears, as if a river ran under the pavement, and I neither see nor hear anything till I am standing in front of our house. I go slowly up the stairs. Over the door hangs a banner, "Welcome home," and beside it a bunch of flowers. They have seen me coming already, and are all standing there. My mother in front on the stairs, my father, my sisters. Beyond them, I can see into the dining room. There is food on the table. Everything is gay and jubilant. "What's all this nonsense you've been up to?" I say. "Flowers and everything. What's that for? It's not so important as all that." "But, Mother, what are you crying for?" "I'm back again. And the war's ended. Surely there is nothing to cry about." Then I feel the salt tears trickling down my own nose.